Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Just Make the Thing, a podcast for people who want to start a thing and keep on making it. Welcome back to 2019 and our first episode of the year. I am your host, Claire Tonti, and today I'm joined by Chanel Luchev. We're going to share some exciting news that Chanel has just found out, and we're going to talk about worrying and about anxiety as we enter into this new year. I find myself at the moment, in the current climate we're living in, just full of worries, a lot, and a lot of anxiety. And there is a difference, obviously, between a level of anxiety that we sometimes all feel and a clinical feeling of anxiety that is treated with medication and psychology. And we talk a little bit about the difference here, but I'm just talking about generalized worrying and anxiety. On the 17th of January 2019, so just this year, I discovered someone who is helping me along with those worries that I have, worries for the world and worries for our political climate. Her name was Mary Oliver. You may have heard of her. She's an incredible poet. And when she passed away, there were just hundreds and hundreds of shares across Instagram and Twitter of her wonderful work. But this poem really spoke to me a lot. And I thought, as someone who is out there creating and making, this might just help you. I Worried by Mary Oliver. I worried a lot. Will the garden grow? Will the rivers flow in the right direction? Will the earth turn as it was taught? And if not, how shall I correct it? Was I right? Was I wrong? Will I be forgiven? Can I do better? Will I ever be able to sing? Even the sparrows can do it, and I am, well, hopeless. Is my eyesight fading, or am I just imagining it? Am I going to get rheumatism, lockjaw, dementia? Finally, I saw that worrying had come to nothing and gave it up and took my old body and went out into the morning and sang. So I am going to take this old body that I have right here at 33 and try and just take it out into the morning and sing. And this wonderful friend of mine, Chanel, who you'll hear today talking with me, often helps me do that. So this is us, our first episode of 2019. A happy, happy new year to you wherever you are out there. And yeah, talk to you on the flip side. Hello, Chanel.
Hi, Claire.
Hello. Welcome back.
Welcome back to 2019.
It is 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at us go.
Look at us go.
We're finally here.
We are. And sweaty.
Oh, mate. Oh, it has been 45 degrees today and it has been so insane. And you have bought a house with evaporative cooling like us, and commiserations. You should never have bought that house for the one day of the year where it's 45 degrees in Melbourne.
I might have just lined the kitchen tiles or something like I did when I was a kid at my parents' place. Oh, I feel like that's quite effective.
That is, yeah, it's like when the concrete gets wet around a pool and you put your cheek on it. Oh, I feel like as an adult I'm too, like there's too many bits now. Like it's uncomfortable to lie on my front.
It's true. It's true. Yeah,
particularly for you now.
Yeah.
How are you surviving in the heat, Prego lady?
Yeah, I'm all right. I have been pretty lucky that I've had a bit quite flexible work arrangements. So I've just basically been parked in front of my air conditioner at home. But I did teach yesterday in, what was the weather, like 38 degrees?
Yeah, it was still really, yeah, which is pretty much 40.
It was bloody hot. Ridiculous. It was bloody hot. So three funny things happened. So if anyone uses Google Maps, you know how sometimes they tell you there's a road and then there isn't one?
Yes. And I get so annoyed because I think I didn't need to use my brain. I know I should have used my brain, but I can't use it anymore for finding places. Mm-hmm. That goes.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. And I no longer have a Melway.
No.
Do you say Melway or Melways?
I say Melways. It sounded very odd when you said Melway.
Yeah, see, this is I was talking to friends about this and they're like, it's Melways. I'm like, well, it's technically Melway, but I think everybody I know says Melways.
I didn't know it was Melway. For anyone who is an internationalist, I'm so sorry. Oh, actually, anyone who doesn't live in Melbourne. Yeah,
like, what are you
terribly
talking
specific.
About?
It was just we used to have the paper mat of the entire state, which probably they still exist.
Mm.
But it's just that no one uses it now. Mm-hmm. Everyone uses their phones.
So Melway, Melbourne Way. Yeah. Then I think in New South Wales it's Sid Way. And I would imagine the rest would be something similar.
Adway. Adway. I feel like that's something that I do for work. Anyway, tangent.
All right.
So you got lost on
I got
the way.
Well, I didn't get lost. It's just the roads kept taking me to the back of a school where I was teaching and all of the gates were shut. And I don't know whether they were proper roads or not.
James is shutting the door on us.
Enough of yours. It's so fucking hard.
Work. He has been complaining all day. All day. That man cannot tolerate any change. He likes like a very specific temperature and like specific fabrics as well. And he does not like to be too hot or too cold. He said to me literally today, he had a meltdown and said, I spent my childhood being too hot and too cold and now I'm an adult, I can choose my temperature. I'm like, that is the most privileged thing I've ever heard anyone say.
He's like, I choose my temperature.
He's like, why do we have evaporative cooling? Yeah, he's just been not coping all day.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So eventually I got there after having to go the long way around and ignore the stupid Google Maps lady who kept telling me to go left when it wasn't possible. And then I got there and they took me so one of our friends is the one who teaches these a group of fairly elite swimmers, like teenage girls, and he wanted me to run the classes for them at the campus that they had their camp at. So they're like, oh, here's the dance studio. I walked in and there's a whole bunch of players from Melbourne Storm in there just stretching. And I was like, this room's booked at 4:30. And they were like, oh, okay. Oh, we thought we had it booked. And I'm like, get out. And I was like, I could really get into trouble here.
Yeah, they're like big rugby players, right?
Yeah.
Like really big muscles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they were super polite. And I was just like, Because I had an experience the day before at work when I was teaching and the stupid dudes in there like just didn't want to get out. And I was like, well, the room's booked. And like, well, sorry, we didn't know. Is there anywhere else we can go? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Get out. So I was a bit more aggressive.
Okay.
And sadly, they were much more polite.
Like preempting these old rugby players. They're not going to want to get out of this yoga dance studio. I'm imagining you going in there being like, my name's Chanel, get out now. And then, and all these guys are like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry. Sorry. And like leaving politely.
I'm like, pregnant women are really aggressive.
Yeah. I know. I felt like when I got pregnant though that I suddenly was like, I am growing a human. Therefore, all of my insecurities have vanished and I am goddess and everyone will listen to me. I have a human inside me, people.
Oh,
Move along.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
And then the third thing was, so I taught this class and because it was 38 degrees, there was just a general like a level of sweat dripping down from me the whole time. So, and just mirrors in 360 degrees.
Ooh.
So I got a full view of how much my body has changed in the last 5 months. And I was like, well, that was humbling.
In front of a room of like 14-year-old girls.
Yep. Oh. Who are essentially like semi-elite athletes and like are the fittest people in the world and not an inch of fat on them. And I'm just like, everybody twist. I won't twist, but you can.
Chanel's doing a movement because it's an audio medium where she's just like holding her arms up like some kind of orange, just like pottering around. Oh, mate, that's horrendous.
So the struggle was real yesterday, but then today we had I was working from home and we had our 20-week scan and it turns out we're having a lady.
Yay!
When I say lady, I literally mean a lady because she kept her legs closed the entire ultrasound.
That would have made it very difficult to ascertain.
No, it did. It did. The poor sonographer, she was just like, look, she's like, I think it's a girl, but I'm really not sure. She's just not interested in showing you her stuff. And I was like, okay. So eventually after like half an hour, then she was like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
I was going to make some terrible joke then, but I won't make a terrible joke.
Showing us her stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, all right, then you've asked long enough. We're not going to get into a talk of consent and like things.
Well,
like that.
So here's the interesting thing, right? At the risk of bogarting this conversation, because we actually do have a topic we want to talk about today. I have had just all these interesting thoughts running through my head. Before we found out the sex of the baby, I was convinced. I'm like, I want to have a boy. It'd be nice to have a boy. And then we'd have a boy and it'd be cute and sweet. And then, you know, he'll always love his mum and, you know, and he can play sport with his dad. And, yeah, that'll be great. And then we're like, and she's like, no, there's the vagina. And I was like, okay, cool. And so at first I was like in a little bit of shock. But then I was like, yes, this is amazing. And I was like, she could be the next Michelle Obama.
Oh, my, I have the book for you. I was thinking all holidays that I did not give you the book when we left. I'm so sorry.
That's fine. We're going away soon, so I'll be taking it from you.
Okay, excellent.
And I'm like, she could be the next president because, of course, we'll be a republic by the time she runs for office.
Correct.
And I'm like, she could be a vet. She could be the next Attenborough. This is really exciting, right? So I got really into it. And then I started listening to there's a Spotify playlist called Girls Around the World, which, of course, is Beyonce is the star. But so I was getting all excited and then I was like, she's going to have body issues.
She's going to have to teach yoga in this very specific studio with 360-degree mirrors.
And then I was like, oh, what if she meets someone that's not very nice to her, and what if she falls in like love with a guy or a girl that's not very kind, and then I was like, what if she's too soft-natured and she can't stick up for herself? So then I got all emotional about like all of my fears for this child that hasn't even been born yet, and I was like, you need to like calm down, lady. And then I was like, what if she meets someone like Goran who just adores her, and then she's happy and she's in love, and then she has her own baby? I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then I was like, then I started getting really emotional because I was happy again. So do you know what I did? Because I was like, I need to stop this weird emotional Tourette's because I can't go into Claire's house with this all these feelings.
That's what my house is for.
So you know what I love
feelings. I can't cope when people say they're fine. Don't tell me that. That's insane. Nobody's fine.
That is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Tell me, are you really happy, really sad? Have you got many emotions? Are you feeling deeply worried about the planet? Excited for you? Yeah, anyway.
Continue. So then as a reaction, like, I need to get myself out of this funk. So I just put on, like, really aggressive 90s hip-hop. Like, I love it when they call me Big Papa, which is like an notorious B.I.G. song. I was playing it really loudly and all these families are like driving past and they're looking at this like crazy aggressive person in the car. Just like heavily swearing and rapping.
Is that this image of you? Because you're in this like really cute like little like pregnancy polka dot dress with your curly hair, just being like motherfucker, like just rapping and bouncing along. Oh mate.
So then I thought to myself, which I think is a nice kind of segue. I think I have a little bit of anxiousness about the situation.
No, I just snorted. No, Chanel. No anxiety. Very calm about the whole thing. Oh, wait, I love how you've lived out her whole life story for her. You just find out. Yeah.
Start to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, mate. And because the hardest bit about it, this is the thing with kids, and I wonder, I think it would probably be different if I had a girl. Maybe not. I don't know because I have so many fears for my son. but the most heartbreaking thing about having a child is that you know that if they don't go through hard stuff, they're going to be a terrible person.
Yes.
Well, not a terrible person, but
they're not resilient.
Not resilient. Mm. They're a much better person when they go through difficult things and they get tested and they grow. But I don't want to goddamn see that.
You don't want them to have to deal. Like, you want them to have to deal with it without having to actually experience it.
Correct.
And just know how to cope.
Exactly.
Just have the coping mechanism there.
Exactly right. Mm. Like today when I made Play-Doh unsuccessfully because, like me, I sort of randomly looked at a recipe on my phone and then I didn't want to look at my phone screens, Chanel, while I was parenting inside and trying to do like this play school-esque let's make Play-Doh thing. And so then I put my phone away and then I just tried to remember the recipe and then ended up just being like, this is not working. So I just like, and I didn't have, I had self-raising flour and no cream of tartar and the wrong kind of oil. And I was like, I'll just chuck it in and hope
for
the best.
What do you use cream of tartar for other than making Play-Doh?
I don't even know what it is. Is it like bicarb? I just use bicarb.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. What's tartar?
I don't know.
What's cream?
Yeah, I don't
know. It's still a white powder. I have no idea. Anyway, I didn't have any of it because I don't understand it. And so then, like the Play-Doh kind of formed this dough, but then I realized at the end that I hadn't put any coloring in. So then I tried to put the coloring in after the fact and it all just kind of like swirled around and then got all over my hands. And then my son was freaking out that I had like got really blue hands. And then he was like, the Play-Doh's supposed to be blue. I'm like, and I'm looking at it, it's got like streaks of blue. And he wanted a purple one and it was just black. I'm like, I'm really sorry. And I just thought, yeah, but he coped. He survived.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm building a resilient human.
You are. You are indeed.
I am. No, yeah, major parenting fail. Well, I think it's exciting you're having a girl.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of rapt about it. And I thought, actually, the other thought I had was you need to have a daughter because then they can continue this podcast legacy after we go.
Correct.
And they can call us unprogressive and backward in our thinking.
I would love that. Correct. And also I think how great, what a time to be. I mean, I know there's lots of negative things around at the moment, but what a time to be a woman, you know, with a mother like you.
Oh, thanks.
And a dad like your Goran and just, but living in this time now where you feel this energy of women kind of swelling, what a kind of amazing time to give birth to a girl.
Oh, yeah.
This year. I feel like this is the year of the girl.
It is.
I mean, it's not technically. It's the year of the pig. In the Chinese calendar.
Girls and boy pigs?
Yes,
both?
Girls and boy pigs.
Okay.
Correct. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is girl pigs. But it is the year of the pig this year.
On some level, I feel like I have a greater sense of obligation now to set the right example and set her on the path to some sort of greatness. No pressure.
No pressures. I mean, keep her alive too. But on top of that, yeah, exactly. Just make her the most outstanding Michelle Obama-esque person that has ever walked the earth, should be an astronaut, and then when she retires from astronauting, become president of Australia and somehow in that time have made sure that we're a republic by the end.
Course.
By the time she steps into her life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt she will.
Become an astronaut? That would be so cool.
Yes, correct. Be an astronaut, definitely. Gosh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you.
That's really, it's amazing to me that you're having an actual human.
I know. And I think the thing is now that we know the sex too, it's kind of making everything quite real. I mean, the first scan was like, whoa, okay, so it's no longer a blob, it's actually a person.
Mm.
Cool. And this time it's like, oh, wow, it's a person with what I believe to have a particular personality. Because, like, she moves around a lot. I'm like, oh, that's me. I'm like that. I'm hyperactive. Yeah. That would make sense. And I was like, oh, and she's a lady. That's nice.
She's very polite. It's funny you should say that because when I was pregnant with our son, he did not move around that much.
He's very active now though.
He's pretty active. Yeah, he's pretty active. Mm. But he's sort of similar to his dad. Like his dad will only move around when he really needs to, when he's forced to.
Yeah, it's 43 degrees and he needs to go to the shopping centre because it's the only cool place.
Correct, exactly, to buy some clothes too. Yeah, so, no, it is really interesting. I do think personality, I even think the way people are born sometimes can reflect their personality too, like whether they're born early or whether overdue or how the birth was. Like my sister, for example, has always been into fashion and her obstetrician was at a black tie event when my mum went into labour and delivered her in tails with like a bow tie.
What?
Yeah. that is amazing. And she still works in fashion now.
That is incredible.
I know. I mean, I don't know if it works for me because I was 2 weeks early and I've never been early to anything. But I do love getting in and out and seeing things. I like getting out there. Yeah. So maybe I was like, I'm ready. I want to see all these bits.
Yeah, I reckon. Super excited.
Super excited. Mm. Super excited to get out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did have a topic though.
Yes.
And I'm sort of blown away by your news. Oh, I'm so excited. My God. Think of all the music.
Oh my God. Oh,
and all the fashion. You're so good at fashion. You'll be a great mum for a girl. You'll be so good with the fashion.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know whether you know this, but I actually really hate the colour pink. And specifically baby pink. To anyone out there who may be a friend of mine and wants to be sweet and give me a gift, if you give me pink, I'll throw it in your face. It's just, I don't know what it is that puts me off. And it's so ridiculous because people should be able to like whatever color they like. Like, right. I've got a good friend of mine, my good friend James, not your husband man James, but another friend James. Yeah. Good solid name.
Good solid name.
He has a real issue with the color orange. It's like, I just don't like it. But why? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, that's how I feel. Makes no sense whatsoever.
But sometimes we just don't like the things you don't like, and that is fine.
So I went to today we went to the ultrasound, we had to go to the local Kmart. For those, it's like a big department store. What's the equivalent?
Target. They've got Target.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. To get stuff because we're also moving house at the same time. Because, you know.
So close to us.
Mm-hmm. So 2 months ago. Oh, and so I went straight to the baby section, obviously. Mm. And half of the clothes were pink.
Yeah, I know. I was speaking to my other friend Ellen who consequently is also a podcaster now on The Millennial Tribe.
I've been listening to that. That's hilarious.
It's really fun, isn't it? Doing so well. And they've both just had girls.
Uh-huh.
A couple of weeks apart, the two sisters, Amy and Ellen. Mm-hmm. And it's Ellen's second girl. Anyway, mm-hmm. but she and I totally agree with this, is of the mindset that girls should be able to wear whatever colour they like.
Totally.
Same as boys. And then I actually think blue is a really beautiful colour.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
And she painted her nursery like an eggshell blue. Oh. And it was beautiful. And but she's often saying that too, that you end up, there's so many kind of like ridiculously frilly, ginormous bows.
Every pair of leggings for girls had tutus attached to them. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on here?
It's not very practical.
It's not.
No.
But also, what if you're just not into ballet or dancing?
Yeah,
I've just got this tutu going around.
I know, and then you see women, like women. I'm talking about women and they're like 2-year-olds. But when they're kind of, what they just want to be active and move around. Mm. And being in a dress is really annoying. They look super cute and there are beautiful dresses and things. But I think for every day, girls want to be comfy and in pants and rolling around.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
So I also have clearly some anxiousness about gendering and having a child that feels pressure to be sort of stereotypically feminine.
Yeah.
And what if she's not into that?
Well, this is the thing.
You know?
I know. I mean, I feel the same for my son on the other side of it. He's really into dinosaurs and dragons and rah at the moment. And in my head I'm like, have we done this to him? Have we watched? Because we've watched things that have got like very quite kind of rough and tumble and fighting at creatures and planet Earth and all this stuff that he loves. And I worry that like he's being too aggressive. But then James is like, no, he is who he is.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, but and I do think there's more pigeonholing for little girls. But I think it's changing. I think there's a lot more literature, a lot more fun. And you can have fun to raise a girl that's strong and independent.
Well, that's the thing. It's sort of like you want them to achieve, and I think with every child, parents probably have this hope for their child. You want them to achieve everything. You have all these hopes and dreams for them and the life that you want them to live. And you want them to achieve all those things without having the stress or heartache of having to go through it, like you'd sort of said before. Mm. So I was like, how do you get to that place? Do you know what I mean? Without the struggle.
Mm.
And how does your heart not break for them when things don't quite go right?
I know. I think the answer is it does break.
Oh, God.
I know. Okay, go back to listening to some 90s hip hop. I don't want to depress you. I'm sorry.
No.
Look, parenting, I don't know. I think it's different for everyone and it depends on the human that you get.
Mm.
And that's what's kind of incredible. You get this kind of not fully formed, but this little person who's got their own life and world and personality kind of, and you have some influence on it. But one of my lovely friends, Alicia, said to me once that she realized fairly early on that her job wasn't to kind of mold and shape this person, as it was more to guide them and support they often have such strong opinions and ideas of their own and who they are. It's kind of exciting.
Well, yeah. Mm. One of my colleagues actually, he's got a little girl and a little boy, and he just, I mean, look, obviously everyone likes to give you their two cents.
Mm.
And he said, he's like, I'm not really in the business of giving people parenting advice, like, but the way that I see it is, he's like, you need to give them the tools and the infrastructure to be good people and to contribute to society in a meaningful way. And once they know how to do that, you need to get out of their way and allow them to do it. Mm. And sometimes that means they'll fail, but if you give them the right building blocks, then they're going to succeed eventually. Mm. It's like, so, you know, just take solace in that. And I was like, oh, you're so wise.
Oh,
you're
a wise person. It's already making me feel better. That's great.
See?
I know. See?
He's got all the building blocks already.
I'm
sure, probably literally, he probably has building blocks.
He has quite a lot of building blocks. A lot of Lego, actually, Duplo to be exact. We built a crocodile cage over the holidays.
Oh,
one of our friends came over and built it with him. He loves that thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. Yep. Crazy. I wanted to kind of actually move on to our topic.
Sure.
But I don't want to deep dive into it. Mm-hmm. But I did text you this week that I wanted to talk about anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of, I think, links in a little bit to what you've been saying, because nothing makes you more anxious than being responsible for the life of another human being. And one of the reasons I was thinking about it a lot, mm-hmm. I was reflecting on what I wanted to talk about at the start of this new year and then what my word of the year was going to be, and I've chosen it. It's courage.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I chose courage is because towards the end of last year, I feel like the world is in a kind of scary place.
Mm.
And it, you know, we've talked about this before. There's a lot of instability. There's this feeling of there's a dog barking.
Cool.
Yeah, you're accurate,
that
dog.
That was well timed.
Well timed.
It's an excellent scary noise you just made.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Very scary and atmospheric. I don't know. I just feel like I saw Glennon Doyle, who I love,
mm-hmm.
Write a quote about how if you're finding things hard, it's because you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, Chanel, I'm really exhausted with paying attention to everything. And James said this thing to me today. He's been watching through The Good Place.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. Amazing.
What's her name? Kristen Bell.
Mm.
Oh, so brilliant.
Mm.
So fun. Anyway, there's an episode he's up to where they find out that no one has been let into heaven for 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being that it's almost impossible now to be a good person, because if you buy someone a bunch of flowers 500 years ago, that was like, cool, you bought some flowers, that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, where have the flowers come from? What is the carbon footprint? You know, like, were they ethically grown? What kind of water did they use? You know, all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
And how much money did they cost to consumerism? And so anyway, it's just a show.
Mm-mm.
It's not real life. But it did make me – all of that is kind of weighing on me a bit, that I get kind of scared about and confused about what is the right decision to make, or will things be okay for the planet and our world. And sometimes, as we've discussed before, I can like have a panic attack in Kmart about like, I just want to buy some nice toys for my son, but should I do it? Consumerism, like the whole thing, where have they been bought? And I guess so this general level of anxiety, because I know that's something that you struggle with too.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes I have to. So, I mean, I guess for me, I think about those things, not that level of granularity when it comes to going into Kmart for toys. I'm sure I'll get there at some point. But about other things, and sometimes I feel crippled by the weight of having to make the decision. So sometimes I don't do anything about it, which is why I don't start things in the first place.
You would think my anxiety would make me not do things, but no, it's more like when I'm in the middle of it. That's when it's going, actually what's very interesting is when it's starting to go really well.
Because you're worried about it failing after that point in time.
That's what it is. Yeah, because then you've got a thing.
Mm.
Like once you start a thing, it's at the bottom. It's fresh. It's new. It doesn't matter because it's fresh and new.
Mm.
Now you've done 60 episodes. Holy shit.
And then people have expectations and that's what they ask you about and you're like, shit, what do I do about this if I don't want to do it anymore?
Yeah, exactly. And people rely on you and you've built something. And so then there's all those impending thoughts. And I guess I want to make it clear, and we talked about this too, that there's a difference between sort of feeling anxious about things or worrying and then there's clinical anxiety, which people are diagnosed with that can be medicated. And if you do suffer from anxiety, it's really important in a medical sense to go and talk to your GP if you're worried that it's more than your normal level of kind of worry about things.
Mm-hmm.
And that can result in panic attacks and depression and
all sorts of things. Yeah, and there's lots of ways to manage anxiety, medication being one of them, but there's a whole bunch of other tools you can use, like cognitive behavioral therapy, or just literally going to speak to a psychologist about the things that are concerning you. Like there's all sorts of ways that you can kind of deal with, like, I guess what is kind of paralyzing you. Because I think the thing is when you get to that point where the anxiety is crippling, it stops you from being able to be in any way productive, and that's not healthy or good for you or for the people around you that love you and worry about you. So,
Yeah, I listened to an Osher Gunsberg podcast because he suffers from anxiety but on a big scale and clinically, and has sort of grandiose sort of ideas of disaster and things. Mm-hmm. But he said he would get in a thought loop about climate change and then that's kind of his obsession and his worry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something kind of interesting I want your opinion on.
Mm.
He said that he thinks – this is just his opinion, that the rise in levels of anxiety in people is that, you know, back in the day, those humans that were a bit more kind of alert to dangers were the ones that survived.
Oh.
And then over thousands of years, that's like
compounded. So you think it's an evolutionary thing?
Well, look, this is not scientific. It's just his opinion that I borrowed.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really interesting idea that the people that, you know, went and explored and did all these courageous things were also the people that were probably quite alert to their surroundings and weren't going to get eaten by, I don't know, dinosaurs? No, people and dinosaurs weren't around.
Things that eat humans.
Things that eat humans. Mm. Giant wombats, which I found out were a thing recently
in Australia.
Did you see my Instagram post? There were wombats the size of cars in Australia.
That's terrifying.
I know. We got to sit not on an actual one, but like a statue, a life-size statue of one at Healesville Sanctuary.
Oh, my God.
Also, they carry their baby wombats in a pouch on their bottom and the wombat faces out.
That is actually adorable. That is the cutest thing I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
Because, do you know why? Because they're always digging, and so if the baby was facing forward, they'd
get dirt. That is so cute.
I think that I just did like a mimic of a baby wombat chewing on some dirt. But, you know, you wouldn't do
it. Good sound effect. I liked it.
Thanks, mate. Sorry about the saliva noises. Oh, God. Yeah, so you wouldn't do that. So that's why evolutionary-wise they face around the other way.
There you go.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, I think being alert to danger is always a good thing. You don't want to just, like, walk into a dark alley in the middle of the night. You don't want to walk into dangerous situations if you can avoid them, or at least find a way to defend yourself if you need to.
Correct.
So I can see the logic behind that.
And I guess also maybe because as like animal beings, people that we are, we are programmed to look for dangers and assess things and make sure and do the best that we can to stay safe.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there's so much different messaging about what is the right way to be, what are the right ways to keep safe, what are the right ways to be a good person. And the world from a Western perspective where we live anyway, as much as my day-to-day life is actually just really pleasant and lovely. Yeah. I mean, it's 45 degrees today, but, you know, it's pleasant, but you can't help but take on this kind of low level of like, what is happening? Mm. Like, shit's getting real.
I think the more educated you are about things, the more anxious you become too.
Oh.
Because you're just aware of the problems. You're aware of the realities, I guess. But yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
You'd think in an affluent society that we live in where we have sort of a good standard of living that we should actually generally be happier people.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be that way. It's like the more you have, the more you stand to lose. Mm. Or is that it? Or,
yeah.
Or we look at our phones too much.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
That's quite problematic, I reckon, actually. Mm. I mean, I think for me it's too much. It can be too much TV. But then again, also for me, sometimes that serves as a form of escapism.
Yes.
Because I'm quite picky with things I watch, and quite often I'll opt to just watch the same stuff over again because I know what the ending is, so I can manage it. Like, in fact, actually this morning, oh, it was such a bad idea. I need to stop doing this. This morning I was up. I was up Bold and the Beautiful early. I'm just going to put it out there.
Whoa.
I was up at 7 a.m. because I just was, and it was hot, and, you know, I was up earlier than that. And the storyline today was one of the main characters goes into labor with a girl and loses the baby.
Oh,
so by the end of it, I was like crying, and Goran's like, why are you watching this? This is ridiculous. So obviously, like a sane person, I went into that ultrasound thinking, I hope everything's all right in there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on Bold and the Beautiful,
yeah, this morning,
Hope just lost her daughter.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, and then that's forefront in your mind because you take on that emotion of that. That's like Bird Box.
Oh, my
God. I couldn't believe when you texted me and said I was up, because you texted me at like 4 a.m. I was like, what is she doing texting me at 4 a.m.? I mean, but I'm up because I've had a nightmare because I watched this like Bird Box movie on Netflix and Sandra Bullock stars in it, and she's brilliant. Gosh, and she's so believable that you feel like the world has turned into a place where you can no longer go outside without a blindfold on because there's some like ginormous demon that is, if you look at, will make you just like want to jump off a bridge or something. I won't spoil it any more than that. It's a great script and she's brilliant in it. It's a lot.
But you feel quite unwell watching the whole thing and just wanting the thing to be resolved.
Yeah. Yeah. It sits somewhere in the back of your brain.
I see.
Do you know what I mean? Like for me anyway, that fight or flight, something about it. I'm so exactly the same as you. I use TV as escapism. It's like a little, it's like a pressure valve. Like I don't drink, I don't smoke. Well, okay, no, I do drink occasionally, but not very often. I wouldn't open a bottle of wine after like on a regular day. But exercise is my other pressure valve.
Yeah.
But TV's like my happy place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like Bird Boxes in my happy place.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing, is you've got to be choosy with the kind of stuff you watch. But I guess with your phone and stuff, it can be the same thing in that, like, it can bring on feelings of anxiety, or it can reduce anxiety depending on what you choose to consume. So you have to be as picky with that as you do with television. I think the difference with your phone is that because there's just such a plethora of information, especially on social media, there's a very good chance that even in this sort of very well curated feed that you might have, like something bad's going to slip in there, and that's the thing that you'll catch. Do you know what you mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been happening to me recently because as people who've listened to the show for a very long time, thank you so much. It's mainly us just rambling.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate it.
Sorry about that whole, you know, high and low and then almost teary and then strange aggressive hip hop into the microphone.
Hey, it's all content. Yeah. Oh, God. We're losing our minds.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? We were talking about, oh, content. So I've really curated purposefully my Instagram feed to make sure, and I don't really look at Facebook all that often, and I don't really go on Twitter very often anymore because I don't like the amount of raging arguments that are on there, and I have to use it for work.
People say sometimes.
I know.
I just, like, this is on a slightly different topic, but because I was up Bold and the Beautiful early, I was also up morning show early, which would have been like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I happened to catch something, not this morning, but sort of earlier in the week. And there was something about some news presenter. She was a picture of her was taken by the Daily Mail and she was touching her stomach. So they're like, oh, pregnancy rumours for blah, blah, blah. And so she responded to this tweet, I think it was from the Daily Mail or someone, a journalist maybe, saying, no, it's not that. I just really enjoyed my breakfast. That's why I'm touching my stomach. And some anonymous person tweeted back, well, if you're touching your stomach, what do you expect us to think?
Oh, and I'm like, Lord.
Why do you care? Yeah.
What? And she wasn't like, she was like, and touching my stomach, photo anyone?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I know it can get really kind of crazily nasty and horrible.
My goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
And in saying that as well, there's lots of wonderful
stuff
and advocacy on there. And our Planet Broadcasting group has just been so lovely and people always leave me lovely comments. So I do dip into Twitter, but I try hard to just, I really look at Instagram when I and curate that feed so that I can just see images that are that I either inform me in a way that I feel like is good quality journalism and important to be across some of the issues, or they're body positive sites, or they're people that motivate me around my work, or people I find funny, and quite a lot of women, and you know, people that have got a diverse range of backgrounds and comedians and writers, so people that inspire me. So I go on Instagram because I'm like, right, I need a bit of like inspiration or a bit of a pep me up because I'm working today and, you know, in the house and need to kind of feel like a part of a bit of a community. But I've still noticed that there will be sort of quite distressing ads that can pop up.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's for charities and I understand what they're doing because it like there's obviously – you know, issues in the world that we really need to care about.
Yeah.
But I know that.
Yeah.
And so when it's sort of paid advertising and then you see a video of something quite distressing in a space that you feel like you've curated so that, yeah, I don't know. I do think social media is sort of something that's a necessary tool and wonderful, but something that you need to think about carefully around your mental – I mean, we all know that around your mental health.
And discussions about those world issues are warranted and necessary and need to happen. But on some level, like, you also need to be in the right headspace to have them.
Yeah.
So if you're using it as like a tool to help calm yourself and bring yourself back to a place of balance and maybe give yourself a bit of a pep up, sometimes it's not necessarily the right place to go, depending. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's obviously there's lots of variables, but.
Yeah.
There is a risk that it could, you know, make it worse.
Yeah. I just sometimes feel like I would love to not care about everything so much. You know, some people seem to be just don't, I don't know.
Yeah. Don't, I do, yeah.
And they seem very happy. They're very kind. They're very lovely. They treat people nicely. It's not that they're not nice people. It's just that they don't have to care about everything quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know, I do. I understand. I do. I have lots of friends that are like that and they don't seem to allow things to worry them the way that I allow things to sort of get to me. I think especially sometimes when it comes to feminist issues, I feel like in some situations I'm this crazy person that is seeing all this inequality and no one else seems to worry too much about it. Yes. I'm like, don't you worry about the injustice? Yeah, sometimes, not really. You know, you're like, I just in my mind, I'm flabbergasted. Like, I can't understand that. But I mean, I'm just not designed that way. I don't think.
No. Yeah. Okay. No, you're definitely not.
Not, and neither are you.
No, that's true. And that's, I guess, also why it's so great to have your friends here, and why I love these podcasts too, because we get to just sit in a room and talk about all of this stuff that I bring up in front of my other friends, and they're like, pass the deaf and watch.
Yes.
And that's fine too because it's great to have different friends and all of that stuff. But, yeah, I know I get so worked up about feminism and you know, want to make sure that we don't lose the rights that we have and, you know, be strided and be out there and all of that stuff. And then being on holidays, I was like, oh, just Take some time out at the beach. Yeah. Actually, just before we finish, one thing that I've started doing to sort of help with my mental health and for anyone else who's feeling like their worries are on top of worries, I leave my phone – I leave my phone at home or I put it in a pocket so I'm not listening to anything. And I just go for a walk in the morning. It's like 6 a.m. or earlier than that or a bit later than that. Just – early in the morning where it's really quiet and I take my dog, I do not take my son or anyone else with me, and I don't go for very long because I was putting all this pressure on myself that, you know, you need to get up and go for a run at 6 a.m. No, it's not to do exercise. I mean, obviously it's nice to move your body in the morning, but it's not to do exercise or get anything particularly like move some muscles, and I go to the gym later in the day. It's just like a 15-minute walk.
Serving a different purpose for you. Yeah.
It's just like looking at the trees and walking around the block.
Well, I try to. I mean, and I go through phases because a lot of the time I walk to and from work every day, so it's about 20 minutes there and 20 minutes back. A lot of the time I do listen to podcasts, but sometimes I just don't feel like it. I'm like, sometimes I just want to absorb life. I want to see what's going on around me and be in the moment. And it's a nice feeling sometimes.
Yeah.
I think we can sort of be removed from reality a bit when we sort of use all these like devices and things to help us kind of cope or absorb.
Entertain ourselves. Yeah, like we don't want to be bored any tiny minute of any time of the day.
Like there's nothing wrong with sometimes just contemplating existence, like in the world around you, and just being observant and looking around and seeing what's going on.
Yes, it's so true.
I think we do. I think sometimes I think I certainly do feel like I miss out on stuff. Like, and I've noticed actually now, and maybe this is just my age talking, Claire, it might be. But I have noticed in the service industry, a lot of customers will have earphones or headphones on when they're being served by people. And I'm like, what are you doing? Surely it is possible for you to have an 8-second interaction with this person that is actually
serving
you. Like I used to work in a checkout, used to work at Coles when I was a teenager. I would have been so offended if I was at the checkout and everybody was just on the phone. In fact, there was, like, the last time I went to the supermarket, there was a woman on the phone. And she didn't greet the woman packing her stuff and then pointed out the mistake she made and didn't say thank you. And I was like, lady, you're a jerk. That's a jerky thing to do.
That is. That's a real beef jerky of a move there, woman.
It is a beef jerky
move. It is. Oh, gosh. Do you know, and I have been guilty of that because I work at a cafe sometimes and so I have my headphones in. And I don't need to have headphones in because I'm not – sometimes I am listening for audio ads or whatever, but often I'm just working and I have them in. And I've felt that, like, and I love the people at my local cafe. They're so nice. And I'll have a little chat with them and it feels weird. Like if they bring the food and I've got to take my headphones, I'll be like, sorry. And and you're right. I sort of like today I went and got my toes done.
Oh, very
they're
nice.
They're so fancy.
Oh, they are. They look delightful.
I know, so fancy.
Don't look at my feet. They're awful right now.
What? Your nails are beautiful.
Oh, my hands are fine. It's just the
terrible. No, I'm joking. Oh, God, how could you leave the house like that? Get out of this studio. No, I can't even see them actually from here. Yeah, but I was looking around and realised that I used to go to the, like years ago, I would go and it would be a real treat and I would just sit, maybe flick through a terrible magazine, but just enjoy the massage chair getting my toes done and the like, water and be like, ah. And now I go there and I'm like, this is taking far too long.
Yeah.
It's half an hour. What am I doing? I brought my Kindle. I brought my phone. I had my headphones and I was looking. There was another woman who was trying to work on her phone with her headphones in while she was getting her hands manicured. So she's got headphones in. She's like one hand and then she's like using the other one and then she'd have to swap fingers and like it was this whole debacle. And I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. That is getting next level ridiculous.
Are we so time poor that we can't like actually allow the people that we're asking to perform a service for us to perform it the way that it's meant to be done?
Yeah, and yeah, like, exactly.
And just like give me a manicure, but don't
Don't talk to me.
Yeah, don't talk to me. And also don't allow me unfettered access to my, like, allow me with unfettered access to my hands, because I'm going to need them to do my job while you're doing that at the same time. Is that okay?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. And even though I think running your own business and running your own thing means you do need to multitask.
Yeah.
But I am over the idea, I think, that we should be filling up our lives every second of every day with it. Like, because at the end of the day, you're not productive for like 12 hours. You know, you're going to have breaks. There has to be time where you just do one thing.
And what are you crowding out by filling up every second of your time?
Mm.
Like, what in your brain are you crowding out, or are you trying to crowd out by busying yourself to that degree? Mm. That's the thing I wonder, because I figure if you've got concerns or stresses or emotional things that are sort of weighing on you, you can busy yourself, but eventually it'll all catch up with you anyway, possibly in circumstances where you don't have the control or the ability to be able to process them in a safe way.
Correct.
So sometimes giving yourself that breather, being a little bit bored, I don't know, not having every minute of your day sort of accounted for is it's a good thing. Give yourself some, go outside and smell the roses. Isn't that what they say?
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, you're totally right, because your body will catch up with you at inopportune times, like when I was in Myers and had a panic attack. You got wheeled out, nearly knocked over like a little old nonna. Well, they wheeled me out in a wheelchair. I was actually fine. But, yeah, you're right, because you can't – you yeah, we're not – I don't think as human beings we are designed to work at that level every minute of the day. It doesn't – and I know there's this whole like achieve, achieve, achieve. Yeah. But I love – there was a poet that died recently, Mary Oliver, who I had never heard of. But she said that quote, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it was something along the lines of, what are you going to do with your one wild and precious life?
Yeah.
And when I read that quote, I thought about it as, oh, inspiring, and what are we going to do, and how many things we're going to build, and CEOs are we going to be? And then what she actually said when she died, I saw another tweet, I shared it on Instagram, that Mary Oliver's actual perspective was, walk through the fields, you know, notice things, be present. That's what she meant. What are you going to do with this wild and, you know, incredible life? Spreadsheets? You know, or like Instagram, like, and all of those things add to our life. But I think, you know, at a certain point, just get your nails done and just do that.
Just, literally just do that. Go there and get your nails done.
Yeah, go just out for brunch.
I went through a phase actually where I used to take my phone and a novel to a cafe around the corner from my house, and then I realised I wouldn't even read a single page of it, because I would just browse the internet on my phone. And I remember, like, I saw the same guy, the same waiter, like, every Saturday for, like, a month. And he's like, how's that book going? And I was like, well, terribly, because I'm getting distracted. And he's like, I have a secret. So he pulls out this Nokia 5110. The old analog phone. He's like, you know what I can do with this? Send text messages, play, make phone calls, and sometimes play Snake. And that is it.
Oh, I miss those days.
And he's like, it's the best thing I've ever done, because I am very easily distracted, like you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was like, oh, maybe I need to get myself one of those phones.
Yeah, I miss. I loved that phone. I actually have a real hate for my iPhone.
Oh, do you?
Like a visceral, get away from me, except I love you. But get away from me, but I love you kind of feeling. Yeah. And it's why I often run the battery down. James is always like, plug your freaking phone in. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's so annoying when it dies. But I know subconsciously it's because I just it's always there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, and it's like following me around, not literally following me, but, you know, there's all the pop-ups and the things that happen. Yeah. And I use it for work. It's an amazing tool. Yeah. I can answer emails everywhere and it allows me to work from anywhere. It's incredible and the knowledge and stuff is incredible. But, yeah, I would prefer a 5210. I really liked that phone. I used to drop it out of taxis all the time.
And I bet it was indestructible, right?
It was. Yeah. It used to fall apart and I'd just like click it all back in. Yeah. It was so wonderful. 3 a.m. I always remember because I was like 18 or something and going out clubbing for the first time. I dropped that phone, was dropped in loos and all kinds of spaces. Worked fine. You drop that phone once if you don't have a smash-proof cover. That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, so I guess the takeaway, what's our takeaway about all of this? That you're having a girl.
I'm having a girl. I need to
buy her a 5210.
Buy her a 5210. Just take a moment to take in and process things and not feel like I have to distract myself with stuff in an effort to kind of cope because it's temporarily numbing, I think, and eventually I'll need to feel the feels. I think that was good for me, the car trip here, actually. It was like a roller coaster of emotions and then it ended with aggressive rap at the end. It's quite a good little... Little way to finish off.
Yeah, I think it's well-rounded. Yeah. It's well-rounded.
What about you?
Yeah, I like that idea of feel all the feels and do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do one thing at a time.
Whatever happened to that? Just the one thing.
Just the one thing. And just do, just make the thing.
Yes, correct.
Just keep making the thing and plodding along and it doesn't have to all be done now.
No.
And it's going to be okay. Because you know what I've noticed my brain also does, and maybe it's because I've been on holidays, I've had more time for my brain to do this. Often it will go, oh, that person must not like me or this person, I've done this thing that's wrong or like, I wonder what that person is thinking about the thing that I said to them 18 months ago. Most people are not thinking about any of those things.
No.
And I just, I'm saying it to remind anyone else who out there who feels like that in actuality, everyone else is the star of their own movie.
Correct. Yep.
Their own, they're Sandra Bullock's in their own Bird Box.
Yeah.
But not an actual, hopefully you're not in a Bird Box-esque life film. You know, and to just be kind.
Yeah.
Be kind to ourselves.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Who run the world?
Girls.
Am I meant to go up high? Is it who run the world?
Girls.
What is it?
Who run the world? Girls.
No, yeah. It's definitely low.
I think it's low.
I'm sorry, Colin.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is low, actually.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really good song.
It's great. Oh, gosh. I'll have to think of all the feminist
played it today. Gordon didn't get it for the first couple of, I think he was like quietly hyperventilating. And I was like, can I put something on Spotify? And then he was like, sure, because we were in the car on the way back. And then I took maybe 10 seconds and he started laughing. And he was like, oh, I just got the joke. And I was like, it's going to be fine. He's like, I know. He's like, I just don't know what to do with girls. I'm not used to them. I'm like, you're married to one, you loser.
It'll be good for him.
I reckon.
Yeah.
I was like, they can still play sport. Like, they still have arms and legs. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he'll be great. But it would be daunting, yeah. I guess.
I think because he's also only ever had brothers as well.
Oh, true.
And they have their big group of high school mates,
boys, yeah.
None of which are girls by choice, you know what I mean?
No.
We're all married into the group or, you know, are there by relationship. So it has been a very sort of, I guess, a male-dominated situation for him for a very long time. So it'd be an adjustment.
Yeah.
The same with me if I found out we were having a boy. I'd be like, so
how?
Penises. Yes. So, gonads, hey, on the outside, what do
what
you do?
Do they work? I know. It's a whole new world.
Oh, God.
I know. You know what? I do sometimes think that the universe sometimes gives you things for a reason too.
Oh, totally.
You know, I reckon he'll be a great dad. I reckon he'll end up being like.
I have absolutely, like, I have no doubt that he will actually really enjoy himself. I think he will be surprised at how much he likes it. And I think every man I know that ends up having a daughter is just like, it's so awesome. Like, it's so awesome. I mean, it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
No, it doesn't.
Because they all have their own personalities anyway.
They all come with their own unique bundle of things. And, yeah, Oh, it'll be gorgeous. Mm. I'll have to wait and see. Okay. Oh, I'm just thinking of all the feminist books and things we can give her. We can just make her into this, like, woman that we wish that we were.
I was like, so what are the schools in our zone area? Because we need to get her into a good school, otherwise she's not going to go to university, and we need to get her into those top courses. And Gwen's like, holy hell, you need to calm down.
But she's going to be like, Mom, I want to drop out and study art in Nepal.
Yeah.
It's all the yoga that you did. I'm just really zen. We should be fine too.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's all fine. It's all good.
It's all going to be okay. We'll breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay. And we're done.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Bye. Happy 2019.
Happy 2019. You have been listening to a podcast called Just Make the Thing with me, your host, Claire Tonti, and this week with my wonderful pal, Chanel Luchev, who always manages to cheer me up when I'm in a spot of worrying. If you would like to email the show, and we would absolutely love to hear from you, please email us at justmakethethingpod@gmail.com. For more stories by me, follow me on Instagram at Claire Tonti. You can also head to the Planet Broadcasting website. We've got lots more shows just like this one, including The Millennial Divide. I would highly recommend going to check that one out. I produced that with three sisters, and it's brilliant and very funny. And you can also find Mr. Sunday Movies and The Weekly Planet, my husband's content, up on our site, and go and listen to The Weekly Planet. It's a great show. Okay. That's it from me. As always, thank you to Raw Collings for editing this show and allowing me to keep making the thing every week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.